Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Got me on a thread of cut-ups during the break of the plays that they that Bishop Sycamore tried to run.
Oh my God! The first play
that's
from
not
scrimmage.
Offensive line play. That's just they're just standing.
Offensive
there.
Line.
That's not.
I feel like
no, it's offensive line.
Any high school team other than this would have at least given a better effort. On the opening play.
Lima asked me during the break, he goes, what have those IMG kids got to be thinking? Like, do they feel they've even accomplished anything?
After the first play, do they think they've done anything watching that left tackle?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this is truly extremely embarrassing in every way. This is where there is some culpability with IMG. And I'm sorry. I know we all have relationships with some of the local high schools, and I know we got Chad Withrow, and we're about to take off around the AFC contenders. Almost said AFC North. I'll say this quickly. This is where there's some responsibility that if you're scheduling Bishop Sycamore in year two, I'll give you a pass for year one. If you were scheduling them for a second time, it's kind of on you too.
Right.
You knew damn well. Because these guys, they exchange tape, they go over all this, they want to know everything there is about it. You're telling me that these people from IMG Academy didn't know that this was a collection of adults? So the high school players know this. These high school kids who are 17, 16 years old are kicking the bleep out of grown men here. To borrow a term from these kids, what would gas you up more than kicking the bleep out of 20-year-olds? You tell me. You think you're the cat's ass, and then you're beating up guys who should be playing, who you feel should be playing college ball. Please. This is the biggest ego stroke ever for these kids. IMG knew, everybody knew. Everybody's just blaming Bishop Sycamore, which there's plenty to blame there. Don't act like everybody didn't know. They knew. We go around the AFC contenders. Remember, all guests up here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we go to Chad Withrow of Outkick down in Tennessee. Covers the Titans. Chad, first off, Ryan Tannehill, this offense, and especially a guy like Derrick Henry, third year, maybe a charm. Is this kind of a year where it's like, all right, we really got to pound in now because we might have to make some changes eventually, or is this something that could continue for the next few years as well?
I think they're kind of saved by the fact that Derrick Henry didn't have a heavy workload early in his career. So while he's getting up there in years for a running back to be in their prime, you know, the first 2 years, he really, you know, he didn't get the bulk of the carries with DeMarco Murray on the Titans. So I think they're a little bit saved by that in terms of his window. I still think Derrick Henry has at least two really good prime years left in this Titans offense. And as Derrick Henry goes, really this offense goes, and that's not to say that Ryan Tannehill has not been great for this Titans offense. He's been really good throughout. But this, guys, is the year that, you know, after last year's offensive performance, it was just stay the same. Just don't dip. And now they not only will they not dip, they add Julio Jones. The big question mark, though, is Julio Jones hasn't practiced because of injury so far. So there's a lot of eyeballs on him, because they do have to replace Corey Davis, who left in free agency. So that's really the big question mark. But, you know, on paper, you look at this Titans offense, especially with Taylor Lewan coming back at left tackle, they should be even better than the great offense they had last year.
I'm curious when it comes to your offense. I mean, you've lost coordinators in successive years, or it was Matt LaFleur and then obviously Arthur Smith, but I don't hear any fans losing their mind or panicking about that. Is that because of your running back situation? Is it because you really do believe in Ryan Tannehill?
Well, you're speaking to my heart right now when you bring that up, because this is something that I've been harping on, because I don't think enough people put a red flag up about Dean Pease retiring the year before, and we saw that huge dip last year. I think many times we can underrate the loss of a great coordinator with a team, and I do think that's a factor for this team. Now, you know, they elevate Todd Downing, who was working under Arthur Smith, but Arthur Smith did a terrific job in his 2 years as Titans offensive coordinator, did a great job tailoring the offense and basing it around Derrick Henry and running everything off of him, and now that led to him getting the head coaching job with the Atlanta Falcons. So I do think that Titans fans should be a little bit concerned that there is going to be another drop-off from Arthur Smith now to Downing, just like we saw a year ago, where the Titans went from Dean Pease, an all-time, you know, great NFL defensive coordinator who's got a great track record, to no defensive coordinator. You know, Mike Vrabel didn't name a defensive coordinator last year. It was a big mystery as to who was calling defensive plays, whether it was him or Shane Bowen. Now they elevate Shane Bowen on defense, but I think that's a factor to watch is can Todd Downing just keep this thing going?
Everybody's telling me to ask whether or not there should be shock about Des Fitzpatrick getting cut. Sorry, Ken. Ken wants me to ask Dean Pease. Everybody knows that Dean Pease, does he poop? Everybody wants me to ask it. I can't do it, Chad. I think it's juvenile.
Does he? I don't even know this. You're going to have to explain the joke.
No, they're not even listening, Chad.
Don't talk about it. Don't do it.
No, don't. Don't even dignify it.
Okay. No, I get it. I got it now. I got it now. It took me, guys. I'm a little bit slow, but now that it fully came over me, yes, I like that. And my answer is yes. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. We know. Des Fitzpatrick getting cut. Your thoughts? Fourth round pick.
So it's bad, right? I mean, they traded away two later round draft picks to trade up to get Des Fitzpatrick in the fourth round, and now they see him as a guy not even worthy of making out of his first training camp. There's supposed toughness issues around him. I don't know how you don't know some of this before you trade up to draft the guy. John Robinson has some big home runs as Titans GM, but he is like your modern-day Major League Baseball slugger. It is a home run or a complete whiff at times with John Robinson, and Des Fitzpatrick is another one of those whiffs, like Isaiah Wilson in the first round the year before, who never played a meaningful snap in the NFL. That's how big of a bust he was as a first-round pick. So, granted, this is a fourth-round pick. That's better than wasting a first-round pick. But regardless, it's a waste for the Titans. And that was a position of need in this draft, was wide receiver with what they lost, and they completely whiffed on Des Fitzpatrick.
Hey, can I go back to something for a second? Because this was one of the things that were not about the Dean Pease thing. Let me go back to earlier this offseason when Mike Vrabel, there was questions about the defense, and if I'm not mistaken, Mike Vrabel took the linebacker coach and made him the official defensive coordinator. Was that kind of a shot across the bow at John Robinson about maybe he felt that the defensive setup was fine, but the players that John Robinson has acquired have not been very good?
Well, yes. Look, I think last year was weird on defense. And Mike Vrabel likes to gig the media a lot, and it's kind of a back and forth every day with him. But I do think that there were some messages sent that, you know, I'm doing the best I can with the personnel I've been given. But look, guys, when there's some sort of mystery or confusion about who's calling defensive plays, I mean, you had Kevin Byard, their leader at safety a year ago, saying we're not very well coordinated on defense. I mean, I can't think of a worse shot at coaching than that from your team leader. We're not coordinated. Yeah. Even the choice of words really jumped out to me. So I think this move was simply, Shane Bowen was the defensive coordinator last year. For whatever reason, Mike Vrabel just would not give him that title. And they had
the
defensive coordinator
a
year ago. And so now he's elevated him. Everyone knows Shane Bowen is the one calling defensive plays. I do think that will help the Titans. Also, think they made a couple of additions that, look, that defense can't get any worse. It was the worst third down defense since they've kept that stat in the NFL, in the history of the league. With the additions they made, it cannot be any worse than it was a year ago.
Chad Withrow. Follow him on Twitter at the Chad Withrow, host of Outkick 360 on Outkick.com down in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to Buffalo, and Joe Biscaglia joining us on the show. Joe, first off, is there more pressure from the Buffalo fans? Not from around. I think that everybody else feels there's more pressure on Josh Allen. But is there more pressure from Buffalo fans on Josh Allen because of the $43
million? Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, I think they expect him to be, you know, what close to what he was last year. But I think there's just it's just kind of a love affair going on between the Bills and the Bills fans and Josh Allen right now, based on the way that he really rose from out of nowhere, you know, having that huge jump from his second to his third season and becoming an MVP caliber quarterback in that one season. You know, we'll have to see if he can serve up another season like that. But I think for the most part, fans are just going, oh, yep, it's going to be Josh Allen. They saw his performance against the Packers, second stringers, like, yep, it's just going to be more of the same. But if it's not, then it might be a different question. But right now, it's still that honeymoon phase, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because obviously here we are talking about Baker Mayfield, whether he's going to get that lucrative contract extension, if they're just going to wait, and is he going to be eligible for Josh Allen money? Can he ask for more than Josh Allen? Do fans have any doubts on him at all? It was such a big leap in 1 year. Is there anybody that thinks that could turn into a pumpkin?
Yeah, I mean, I think some were hesitant on wanting to get him signed to that lucrative of a contract. And this is just from a fan perspective. The Bills have been all in, basically, since the middle of last year, I would expect. And, you know, him proving that he has made that leap. But from a fan perspective, some wanted to see if he could do it for a few months into the season. But from a Bills perspective, they took advantage of the window of being able to, you know, operate when teams don't know what that 2022 salary cap is going to be. And that is kind of a sneaky thing, because now if you can't really see what that cap is going to be, then, you know, there's not a real projection moving forward once new money comes into the league with gambling partnerships, television deals, all that, and into the beyond. So getting the deal done now is probably more cost effective for the Bills. And so even though, you know, there is that slight risk that he's gonna tank and go back to the quarterback that he was back in 2020, I think the Bills are pretty confident that he's going to be the same dude going forward.
Joe Biscaglia joining us on the show. I read it, and I think I read it from you, that they were interested in Travis Etienne at the back end of the first round. Of course, they didn't get him. Jacksonville went and got him, and maybe it's to the Bills' providence considering the injury. But it's Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. How concerned? Matt Breida also, I believe, on this roster as well. How concerned are the Bills and Bills fans about this run game backing up Josh Allen?
Yeah, I don't think they are. I think the Bills are, I mean, the fans might be concerned, but the Bills are not concerned, because they believe that they are a pass-first team. They know their identity. They have surrounded Josh Allen with probably one of the best four receiver combinations in the league, between Diggs, Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, and Gabriel Davis. And they're just going about their business that way. And when they need to run, then they're gonna try to. But their offensive line is basically pass blockers first, run blockers second, sort of deal. And this is their identity moving forward. And it's good to kind of lean into that. But the big question will be, when they need to run tough, can they? Because last year, it really wasn't the running back's fault. I mean, their yards before contact averages, Singletary and Moss both, were amongst the worst in the league of qualifiers. And that leads to an offensive line problem more than a running back problem. And, you know, even though their yards after contact was, I believe both were in the top 15 in the NFL league-wide. So I think the Bills have more of a belief in those two running backs than maybe some others do. I don't think that they were seriously considering a Travis Etienne in the first round. I think they were going pass rusher all the way, because that's something they brought up multiple times after their playoff exit against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think they're going to see what they have in Singletary and Moss, and if it doesn't work out this year, then they're going to act in next offseason.
Joe, just slightly off topic, I always want to ask Bills people this. I used to live in upstate New York, used to be around a bunch of Bills fans. Is there anybody that takes exception to the identity of Bills fans being that you just simply are dropping off of RVs right on the tables?
Yeah, I think there is a certain subsection of that. I mean,
or is it a point of pride?
It's a point of pride for some. I will say it's a point of pride for a vocal minority of fans, where you see all of this happening and it gets the most attention, of course. But I think the culture, the tailgating culture in Buffalo, is pretty well established to where people wake up as early as they can and go to the parking lots around the stadium, go park your cars in random backyards of houses around the stadium and tailgate that way. The flaming tables thing didn't really come to prevalence until, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago. But yeah, I think that's just a minority of fans, but yeah, it does generate a lot of attention.
Joe, what happens when someone dies? Where do we go with it there? And will the crate challenge be incorporated?
Yeah, I don't know about the crate challenge, but there actually has been a person that has died after they left the stadium, and that has happened in the past. Not anything from the pre-game shenanigans or anything like that, but it's something you have to consider, because it is a dangerous thing for adults to be doing that when.
On the other hand,
really,
Joe, if you die doing something you love, that gets immortalized.
I mean, I suppose. I guess it all depends on what means the most to you.
Joe Biscaglia joining us on the show. Is this the year that AJ Epiniza makes a jump? Year two.
I think he has a chance to be better than he was last year, for sure. I don't know if he's ever going to be a 10-sack guy. I think the Bills are more excited about their first-round pick, Greg Rousseau, more than Epiniza, because Rousseau, this entire training camp and preseason, at least for me, from what I've seen, has outplayed Epiniza. And I could definitely see Rousseau jumping Epiniza in line to be a starter here before too long, where maybe they're starting Greg Rousseau and Jerry Hughes at defensive end and giving those guys the lion's share of pass rushing snaps. But Rousseau, to me, he's got more dynamic talent. He's got great change of direction skills. He's got better length and he's got better speed off of the snap. But Epiniza has certainly played some nice snaps. So I wonder if maybe Epiniza is going to be about a 50% player, Rousseau maybe a 55 to 60-65% guy, but they are very excited about those two young pass rushers and what the future of this pass rush could behold.
Final question: how badly did you notice how badly I butchered that last name of Epiniza?
You know what? As a person with a last name that often gets butchered, I just kind of blow right past it. I mean, you pronounced my last name right, so 1 out of 2 ain't bad.
Well, there we go. That's Joe Biscaglia, who's fantastic and covers the Bills up there in Buffalo, and that is around the AFC contenders. We usually do around the AFC North. We did the contenders, and remember, both Joe Biscaglia and Chad Withrow appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got something to follow up on that, not about defensive coordinators in their bathroom habits. Not about that. Something about those fans, and another question about Baker in comparison to Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill now. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.